You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to the Eater Upsell, a podcast from the Vox Media Podcast Network. My name is Daniel Janine. I am a producer here at Eater. Typically on the show, my co-host Amanda Clute and I talk through the biggest 5 to 6, you know, food stories of the week. We give some takes, we bring in some experts, we talk to some fans. But sometimes I do a thing here on the show where I bring one of my favorite comics to a restaurant doing a cool thing that I really want to check out. We go, we have the meal, we come back to the studio, and we talk about it. This week, I am joined by one of my favorite comics, a guy named Josh Gondelman. He is a very active stand-up comic. He has 3 albums, the last of which is called Dancing on a Weeknight. Check it out. He previously wrote for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and now he is the senior writer and supervising producer of the number one show in late night, Desus and Marrow on Showtime. Coming out soon, Josh has a book called Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results. It is a collection of personal essays. I can't tell you how many I've pre-ordered already. Please go pre-order that on Amazon or at your local bookstore. For the show today, I took Josh to a restaurant called Niche Niche. It is in Manhattan's West Village, and it is owned and operated by a woman named Arielle Arce. Arielle is known as a vibe maker. She likes to build these dining experiences that all have another layer to them. One of them at this place she has called Tokyo Record Bar, the group works together to build the playlist. But this restaurant, Niche Niche, is meant to simulate the dinner party experience. Or give you the dinner party experience. I'm always curious when these places try to like bring people together, try to force friends on people. Do they really work? Is it kind of awkward? How chill can they actually be? So we went to check it out. Josh and I met outside in the rain.
All right, so you know we're out in the rain under an umbrella.
We are. We're sharing an umbrella. It's very rainy.
It's a good umbrella.
It is a good umbrella. I'm not going to virally market the brand, but I can read it from underneath.
We are outside this restaurant called Niche Niche, and we're going to kind of review it together.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's meant to simulate a dinner party, and everyone's meant to be friends by the end.
Great. Let's go make some friends.
Go make some friends.
Awesome.
Welcome, Niche Niche. It's fucking disgusting outside.
So we come in. We are handed a mini Miller.
A Pony High Life. Yeah. So it's like a 6-ounce beer, yeah. Right? I felt like it was a gesture. Like when you said Arielle is the vibes maker,
yeah.
That to me instantly put me in a good mood.
Yeah.
And not because I like or care about having a tiny beer that much. It's just like, what a pleasant gesture. They said, because I was there a little early and they said, look, it's like it's gross out. We'll be ready in 10 minutes. This is just to cool down, enjoy the night.
Right.
And
bridge
it's like,
you in.
Yeah. And what a great, what a pleasant experience.
First things first is she is Arielle dinged on a glass mm-hmm. and gave us her spiel.
Yep.
Every night of the week, we invited a different person to curate a tasting for you. Tonight, we have someone very special here this evening, Miss Talia Bianchi. Can I get a round of applause? So we asked Talia what she's drinking right now. We take her selections and then we plan a dinner accordingly. So I have a bunch of chefs in the kitchen tonight.
Coming in, knowing only that and not knowing what any of the wines were or any of the foods were, I was like, oh, this is going to be incredibly, an incredibly manicured experience, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. an incredibly rigid experience. And it was from the, like, the, I think that's probably like a Miller High Life is, and like a Pabst Blue Ribbon are like the signifiers of like, we're having a good time, yeah. Right?
Amazing. So we would like to make a quick toast to you guys, if you wouldn't mind raising your glass. You all walked into the same place at the same time, which means that you guys already share something.
It felt like the kind of thing in a movie, like, some person would be like, I've invited you all to my island. Like, that was kind of the speech.
And now my island is going to dock from the shore.
Yeah. And then there you are.
As if an island would be attached to the shore, though.
No, that's like the definitional thing of an island is that it's not attached to the shore.
The one thing.
That's the island's one job is to not to be a part of the rest of the landmass.
So please take a look to your left, and please take a look to your right. You just might meet your new best friend tonight. Let's get a little fucking weird. Happy Tuesday.
So she kind of laid out the mission statement and then invited everyone to kind of make a toast with their neighbors to the left and to the right at their scene, and then said, okay, let's cheers. Here's your first glass of wine.
Right.
And then the first course came out.
How important was her stature or her demeanor when opening up?
I think she was great.
Yeah.
She was so enthusiastic and welcoming. I was still a little nervous because she was so psyched about the vibe.
Yeah. Can I get a fucking whoop
whoop? That I was like, oh no, I was at work all day.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm like worried that I don't have the energy to like meet 38 new people.
Did you still think at this point, and I did too,
yes,
to an extent, that we would be like getting up, shaking hands and playing like a what's your favorite food, what's your favorite movie kind of thing?
I did. I was a little worried, but she was so enthusiastic that I was like, oh, I'm very charmed by this presentation, even though I was like, I'm a little drained by the end of the day. Like, I didn't think it was hokey or cheesy at all. I was just coming into it from a headspace of like, it's so rainy out.
You were still nervous about, am I going to engage with this party vibe enough?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I thought you were maybe saying like, you wouldn't have been floored if she'd be like, okay, now everyone raise your ayahuasca cups and...
Oh, yeah, that could have happened too.
Yeah.
She was just like so charismatic.
Yeah.
And I was very like engaged and like I bought into the premise and I was curious to see what was going to happen next.
Yeah. This looks good.
It looks really good. Can we give it a shot?
Yeah. First course.
Yeah.
Like kind of a charcuterie plate.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
To categorize. And so there was a... prosciutto and some cheeses, and there was like some kind of like jammy spread.
Mm-hmm.
And the focaccia was incredible, like breathtaking focaccia. And so that was the first course, and it was paired with this white wine.
Right.
That's all I remember about the wine.
So at this point, after our charcuterie, which was nice, beautiful prosciutto, you know, crunchy bread, were you starting to feel a little bit more relaxed? That
very relaxed.
That we weren't going to be shepherded around the room and forced to.
Yeah, no. I think by the first course, I felt super chill. Like that's when it fully turned from like any anxiety I felt over the premise of the restaurant to like a full feeling great.
Right.
I felt really terrific the whole meal, and partly because it was not fussy at all. Like you kind of brought this up earlier, but like they brought us, the two of us, a charcuterie plate to share, and our plates, forks, knives, napkins were just kind of like stacked in front of us, mm-hmm, for us to divide, and then we ate the charcuterie, and then so it just like wasn't. It didn't feel formal. It didn't feel like anything was going to be imposed upon us at that point. Like they were going to give us like an additional structure. It was like the vibes were incredibly good. I've said that a bunch of times, but it was like, it was.
Well, let's not blow the ending here. we haven't laid down our final decision yet.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying from that point on, I felt because I don't want people to listen to this and get the feeling that it was like a place that provoked anxiety. It was just that I had not experienced it. And I was like curious that I was not bringing the right energy into this experience.
Yeah.
And very quickly, I was disabused of that.
Next course was a salmon, like a trout sashimi thing.
Yeah,
with some crunchy
crudo,
veg. Salmon crudo.
With and it was like thinly sliced asparagus, they said. Almost like an asparagus, not a shaving.
It was a shaving. We call it a shaving.
Yeah, but like thin strips of asparagus.
It was definitely done on a mandolin.
Yeah.
At this point, we realized, we had a realization because like the charcuterie plate is a thing that as diners, we are used to sharing.
Yes.
It is
give me all the meats and cheeses for one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Charcuterie plate is a thing you expect to share. So that wasn't surprising that there was one.
Yes.
But then I didn't know how the food was going to come out. The next course was the salmon crudo. And there was definitely, again, just one between us. And at that point, we realized that they don't really say at any point these courses are all to share.
Yes. And at, they also, we got, I took the plate with the salmon crudo
until
I realized that it was for both of us.
Yeah.
And then I put it in the middle and we split it up onto the, we had the same little sharing plates mm-hmm. that we had for the mm-hmm. first course mm-hmm. and they refilled the wine. The second course of wine was a sherry.
Yeah.
That was filled into the same glass
same
as the first
glasses.
Course of wine, which I found to be very, like, chill and unfussy.
We both loved that.
And we both did.
Yeah.
And I like that. I find it, like, so wasteful sometimes when, like, oh, another wine will bring another glass, or, like, oh, your bread is done, but you're going to share this next plate. We'll bring you another plate. And I was like, oh, no, I'm okay.
This is really like she took a step back and thought about what things are actually making people feel more comfortable in their dining experience.
Yeah.
And changing the wine glass is not one of those things, especially now, you know, the planet's slowly fading away.
Yeah.
Like if I want my second glass of cru in the same
just
glass.
Just pour it on top of the old wine.
Yeah.
I'm sure though, too, if one of us had tasted the first pour and been like, oh no, this is not for me, they wouldn't have just dumped the second one. Just like, now it's a blend.
Well, so our salmon crudo, we eventually realized that we were meant to split it up.
Share, yeah.
And we split it up. And I think this is a question, like, I prefer to share everything. I wonder, and clearly you do too, especially you love when your wine is poured in an older glass.
Oh, like, yeah.
I wonder if you are not someone who likes that, if this is a slightly more jarring experience. Because I, in a way, feel like this restaurant was almost tailored to me, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it was speaking my restaurant language.
I don't know. It is, but that is one of the things that felt very dinner party, right?
Yeah.
Is like that the food was to be shared.
Right.
But it wasn't like massive family style portions.
Yeah.
It was like, here's enough for the two of you.
Right.
And I don't know what that was like at tables of like eight.
Right.
Or I don't know what it's like if you come in by yourself for dinner.
Are you a sharer? Are you a food sharer?
I am a sharer. My wife is less of a sharer. But
it's harder than when you're just the two of you.
Yeah, but that's true. But also, like, I am a bigger person than her, so I end up doing some sharing anyway. We share
one-sided sharing. Yeah. Right.
It's a one-sided share. Sure. It's kind of a colonial thing that I impose upon her dinner. It's really horrible. I'm a monster.
Yeah.
But she will share a dessert often when we're out, which I find often too. Like by the end of a meal, I really only need like 4 bites of a dessert.
I can't remember the last time I got an individual dessert. It seems like a medieval idea.
Yeah. Rare, like, bring me a cake.
And then we move on into, I believe it was a crusted halibut with a gnocchi.
Yep.
And it was delicious.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Fish was really well cooked.
Yeah.
The gnocchi was really well cooked. The sauce, which the chef may have improvised because he kind of, when he was introducing what.
That's a good note we should bring. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So at the beginning, after the experience was introduced, the chef kind of ran down the 4 courses. And then the wine chooser. Mm-hmm. I don't know if sommelier seems like a technical term. The woman who chose the wine, who's a professional.
Yeah.
She's a writer and editor, right? Who is very knowledgeable.
Wine expert.
Wine expert, yeah.
Yeah.
The chef ran down what the food was going to be, and he seemed like the sauce for the gnocchi was still a little up in the air. He kind of said, yeah, maybe it'll be like a vodka tomato something.
Right.
Who knows?
There's a playfulness.
Yeah.
At play here.
Yes. But it also seemed sincere, like, oh, maybe we'll, that's not what I'm feeling tonight. And
yeah.
We'll change it up.
You buy it?
I did.
Yeah.
Because it almost felt like something didn't quite go right and they're making the best of it, which I think is a feeling that like makes you buy in more, right? If like
a little self-deprecation.
Yeah.
Like, not everything's gone to plan, but we're going to get there.
Yes. I worked with a comic years ago. I opened for Paul Mooney in Philadelphia, and he would do this thing where he would go, what's the name of that guy? He's the singer. Used to date, what's her name, used to Beyonce. And then people would yell the name of the singer, and he would go, yeah. And I would go, oh, is he forgetful? But he would do it the same way every night. And I think it kind of drew the audience in because they knew that he was counting on them. And I think this was not on purpose, but the same principle was at play. You think
based
it might have been
on
purpose.
Based on your little example that you just
no,
brought up
but
there.
I'm just saying that's like that is the way to engineer that. Yeah. But I think I've seen that it can create that kind of
closeness. So they stumbled into something very endearing.
It was very endearing.
And if it's something that they feel like was successful,
yeah.
You're saying it's not something they would have replicated night in and night out?
I don't
trying
think
to grab
so.
A hold of
no,
the same level
I would
of endearment.
Want to go back and be like, is he going to pretend?
Yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit
yeah.
of that.
Yep.
So like after that course, we were crumbed.
We were.
Twice.
Double crumbed.
What is that? Can you explain?
So the staff member came over and scraped the crumbs from the counter in front of us.
Yep.
And then a second person came from the other side, I think, and asked you to move your phone up so that she could maneuver her napkin around that.
And what did you say about crumbing? That like no restaurant, you've never been to some place that's this chill that also crumbs?
Yeah, for sure. It was like a very interesting, and I also said I couldn't predict necessarily which things were going to be a little more like fussy perfectionist and which things were going to be a little more like just grab it off my plate.
Right.
and it was like I never felt like the wrong choice, but it was like a fun it felt so well cared for.
Yeah.
And so well attended to.
Yeah.
Without ever being like, it all felt for the benefit of the experience, not for like
right.
the kind of showing off of like, this is how fancy we are.
Just to nitpick.
Yes, please.
I think I said this to you at the time. There's no reason to ever double crumb. Okay.
Especially because we hadn't eaten food in between.
We were crumbed once. And then someone else came over and was like, oh, I saw you were crumbed. I'm going to crumb again.
I think it was because.
So there were crumbs left behind.
Yeah, she must
have
seen.
So this is not, if you're double crumbed and you haven't, there's been no additional crumbs, that's a failure to crumb all the way.
I don't blame her. She was moving around a lot of obstacles.
Yeah.
It was, but that's what it was not like.
They saw
an
crumbs
extra,
from a new angle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it was. It was a 360 degree.
All right. You have a nice clean shirt, nice clean cardigan on right now. Yeah, no problem. When you take a bite of something, sauce dribbles, you don't want it. Like, you know, if you're at a bar or at a diner, you're on your way home, it doesn't matter. Let's say you're having a meal with people and you're on your way, maybe going out that night or something.
Yeah.
And you get hit with some sauce. How do you react to that? Like, let's hear the Josh Gondelman, I just got hit with sauce. What is that?
Oh, it's bad. It's like, I know it and I'm like, ugh. That's maybe like an ugh. And then
would you tap your wife on the shoulder or what?
I might. I'll be like, ugh. And she'll be like, it's okay. And then like a genuine way, like, it's okay. We'll be fine. And then I will see if there's a way to like button my sweater around it or unobtrusively remove my sweater as if I were never wearing it if it's sauced on the sweater.
Yeah.
And then because I think in the long term, right? I know you kind of flush it with water from the opposite side so it flushes back out and you dab instead of rub. But like even that, if you're out, that takes like another, it's going to be 40 minutes before it's not noticeable that your shirt is soaking wet from sink water.
I thought you were going to say that was a 40-minute process.
No. I just mean like from the time you do that,
it's
like another 40 minutes until it's not noticeable. Yeah. So you're making it worse for like the bulk of an hour.
Can you know that there's marriages or there's relationships in the world which, you know, you tap your wife on the shoulder and you're like,
and I spilled. And then she's just like, come the fuck, we're sitting front row at the fucking show.
Yeah.
Or, it's Betty's fucking poetry
and
reading.
Like, and then you're like, you get all King of Queens on her. Like, I didn't even want to fucking go to this thing. Yeah, it sounds horrible. It sounds like a prison to be in such a relationship.
Yeah.
Performing the heterosexuality of a 90s sitcom forever.
Right. What if she was just like, what if there's ones where it's like, it's before 7, go next door, go to J. Crew. Like,
oh, yeah.
That would be, I could
be okay with that. There have probably been times, like, I think if it was like a full gravy boat that fell on me, I think I would be like, well, I have to go find a shirt.
Yeah.
It's not only noticeable, but it's warm. It feels like my heart is on the outside of my body, just leaking down my chest.
Full gravy boat.
That's, oh, in this scenario, it's not self-imposed. It's like someone trips and drops.
The only way you could get a full gravy boat is a server or someone tripping.
Yeah, someone bring it over. Someone trips them. I'm not like that bad at gravy.
No. A gravy, traditional gravy boat, like one from, you know, Downton Abbey, where you pour it on yourself with the big stainless or the silver. Polished silver gravy boat. Is there any way with just by your own devices you could get that whole thing on your shirt?
I think you would have to be bringing it to the table, or you know what, if someone's passing it around the table instead of sliding it across and they think you have it before you have it
and
then they're like, I thought you had it.
That's what they would do in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. they all sound like the dads of people I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Mark, okay. I thought you had it. So that was
Do you think they ever said Butterfingers in the era of Downton Abbey?
Maybe.
Hey, Butterfingers over here.
But that probably meant like it was probably like a sign of wealth. Like, oh, he has butter on his fingers. He can afford condiments.
Just to close the loop on this, whenever I get hit with saucer, I think I'm always just like, nailed.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You got me.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
How'd you feel about the chef making the, in his intro, the chef made a Gnocchi joke?
Oh, you know, it's, I would call that material, I would charitably call it tried and true. It was a little dad jokey.
Yeah, it was
but
dad jokey.
I'll take it.
Yep.
He was very charismatic as well, and the food was so good. But that said, anytime I purchase anything
yeah.
and someone tells me how much it costs, yeah. I say, without fail, reflexively, I'll be like, oh, can I just get this gum? They'll be like, $1.59. I'll be like, deal. Every time I purchase anything at a store. So, like, I have no leg to stand on in this. No criticism to level fairly.
How do you feel? Are you a restaurant dad joke person? Like, do you pull any of the moves when they ask you how you liked
like
a thing?
Like, they hated it?
Yeah.
Couldn't.
Yeah, you cleaned your plate and you'd be like, we hated it.
I don't, but I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't mind. It's not my...
How do you do it? You'd be like, I loved it.
I do.
Yeah.
I tried... Yeah. I think... I try to be very sincere when I'm dealing with people who are at their job generally, because I feel like they get a million people a day who are like,
bet you never heard this one before.
Right.
So like I try to be very like sincere and appreciative because I am appreciative.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. I feel like you are the most sincere person that these people have ever dealt with. Because, like, let's play it out. So I will just come by and casually ask you how everything's going.
And it's going well, right?
Yeah, it's going great. It's, pretend I'm our server this evening. Hey, guys, how's everything? Just checking in.
Oh, it's all been really great. Thank you.
No, no problem. I'll see you later.
Great. Well, I appreciate you checking in.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. You didn't have to say that.
That's okay. You're doing your job. You're doing great. It's been a wonderful experience.
Fish was done. And then it was dessert time. First of all, what would he have for dessert? Elbow cake? Speaking of dad jokes,
it was not a joke. I thought he said elbow cake.
Yeah.
And I did not know what that was. So when I saw them preparing it, I was like, what about this is elbow?
Yeah.
And it was olive oil cake, a thing I do know about and is delicious.
Yeah.
And so I was like... It was such a really, and the second time he said it, because you were playing along, the second time he said it, you were like, I heard elbow cake again. You had elbow cake. And I was like, this must be a thing.
Yeah.
And then you were like, olive oil cake. And I was like,
Now I made a terrible joke.
You made a joke about it, but I took it also seriously.
I know, and I wish I could erase it from the banks.
So your joke was elbow cake as it's all corners, which they make. Brownie pan.
That brownie pan. That's what I was thinking of. Brownie pan. Yes. I know. And then I thought about that in my head, and I was like, "This joke sucks."
No, but I was just confused because I take things too sincerely, especially if you're a comedian. I take things like astonishingly Amelia Bedelia literally.
But it was a good cake.
It was a really good cake.
Also, the chef had big arms.
Really, he was very muscular.
When we thought he was saying elbow cake, we were like, "He's got big
elbows."
Yeah,
this kid's bringing attention to his forearms.
There's chefs that lift, you know?
Yeah.
That's a
power chefs.
Power chefs.
But the cake was really good. There was this olive oil cake with a little orange glaze and some strawberries on top.
At this point, we almost made a friend.
We did. Almost, we actually did. Yeah.
Rewind to the fact that they said part of the restaurant's tagline is that it's like you're having dinner with your best friends.
Yeah.
And you're going to make, or you're going to make a future
You're
going to
make
best
a
friend.
New best friend. Which that's what I found so intimidating. I was like, I felt very Drake in that moment of like, no new friends. I love to sit. If it was just like, these are big tables to foster conversation, I would have been like, I'm into this. But the fact that I was like, oh, am I expected to like get someone's number and then like babysit their kids?
I like that that's where you go.
Yeah.
What about just like going out for another meal with wine?
Yeah, that's true. We could have done that.
Like, imagine.
But we're best friends. It's like, I'm going to watch your kid while you go for your anniversary.
It's a trick to friendship is you don't get that close because then you never have to do the favors.
I don't want to be help you move close. So they brought out the desserts.
Yeah.
And the chef. This was a good joke.
Okay.
I like.
All right.
The chef said, this is my favorite piece of the cake.
And he said that to everyone.
To everyone across the bar because we were sitting right across and he said it to us, to the people to our right and the people to our left.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to everyone.
And it could have gone farther than that.
For sure. This could have been a long running bit. And he said, this is my favorite piece of cake.
Yeah.
But
according to you, he's not a joke repeater, so who knows?
I think he's not a ploy repeater.
Okay.
This one's an obvious joke. That one would be like a gambit.
Yeah.
To pretend that he didn't know what sauce he was serving. But he said that, and then the two women next to us were like, well, you said ours was the best.
Yeah.
And we independently, I didn't hear you say it, you had said it first, and then I said it after. we offered to trade cake.
Oh, you didn't hear me say it?
No.
Okay, yeah, we both did it.
We both made it. I copied your joke. Because you guys want to trade?
You didn't copy my joke.
And
we independently.
We independently came. It was Carlo thinking.
Do you want to trade?
Do you want look? Delicious. Do you want to trade?
We came to this joke of just asking these two women that whether they want to trade cakes.
Yeah.
And they said no. And then we had like kind of just a fun, pleasant conversation about the size of the strawberries and the
it
cake versus
okay.
the number. It was pleasant. Okay. It was like the kind of pleasant conversation that like I don't feel bonded to them, but it did feel.
That was like the moment that we were like, oh, we might make some friends now.
Yeah. But it was like, oh, I get it. Like, yeah. Because we're all sitting together and there's like such a convivial atmosphere. That is exactly kind of the level of interaction that I felt was like very welcome.
Yeah.
Right. Like the kind of thing where we had this kind of like shared experience of hearing the chef say this.
Right.
We had a 90-second conversation about it that was like, oh, this is like one more little facet to the diamond of the evening.
Yeah.
And
oh, the diamond.
Yeah. And it never got to the point of like, we felt compelled to like, so what do you guys do?
Right.
Like it never got too small talky.
Because
what happened?
We were interrupted by our favorite server.
Yes.
Taking the credit card. I felt like if we weren't interrupted.
Yes.
We would have gotten to the.
We might have.
We would have gotten to the tragic what do you do's.
Yeah. But it never got there. So we got to live in the very pleasant, just quick, like, bit. We lived in the bit.
We lived in the bit.
And then the bit was over because, can we shout her out by name?
Oh, sure.
She was so good. Amelia.
Amelia.
Came by and took your credit card.
A fan of at Josh Gondelman on Twitter.
She was so nice, though.
There are many fans of at Josh Gondelman on Twitter.
No,
how often does that happen where someone, because she said.
Occasionally. It'll happen occasionally.
Once a week?
I don't know. It happens in clusters.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. And not like death comes in threes. I just mean like it depends on where I am. Like it very rarely happens that way where like someone at a restaurant will say that. At a professional event, it'll happen more where like if I'm at a show, if I'm doing a show at the Comedy Cellar or something, someone might come up and be like, oh, I know you. But it's like that's the self-selecting community of people who are
like, so do I, so do I. Oh, so do I, so
yeah,
do I.
Well, I mean, it's probably four people out of 120 or whatever. But yeah, she was so pleasant. And we did. And then again, I will confess to another bit that was like more than I usually would be. But the vibe of the place was such that like, because I normally am so resentful when someone is like, not for my own needs, but like assuming and imposing on a professional's time for attention as opposed to like, but this felt like a conversation that was more or less natural.
Yeah.
Because I hate like when some dude is like, all right, you're my open mic now.
Yeah.
And it like, I find it like very gross and like,
it's abusive. Awful.
It's abusive of not, you know, not truly abusive, but it is inconsiderate, let's say, of someone else's time while they're on the clock, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're being paid to indulge this banter.
Yeah.
But what happened was.
That is a unique facet of interactions in hospitality where you are being paid to indulge in bad banter.
Yes. And it's I don't like it when I see it because it feels rude and it feels like this person has something else to do and you know that, but you're like you're prolonging this interaction because it's good for you at the expense of their what they need.
Question for you. Are you ever at tables with people who are taxing on the server's time?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
I mean, normally it doesn't last long enough to like have to intercede.
Have you ever interceded?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'll probably just be like, oh, that was great. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like try to put a button on it.
Yeah.
I've never been with someone who's gotten like so bad that I'm like, this is inappropriate rather than like, this is inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, you see it at a table over, it'll be like, you know, some dude just like, it's not always flirting, but it's like flirt adjacent.
Right.
Where it's like, she doesn't need this at her job. Or even too many of those jokes of like, how was it? Oh, it was terrible. Send it back after they clean their plate. And just like going on and on, like, you know, extending the bit too far, like tell the chef that if I ever see him on the street, I'll fight him. And you're just shut up.
Yeah. I'm never returning here and I'm going to tell all my friends.
I'm on Yelp right now. It's like, ugh. I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm Pete Wells.
So we had our cake, paid our bill, we got up.
Oh, yeah. This is worth mentioning for sure.
Hell yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
No, please.
You were narrating.
No, you got so excited. You were clearly
I did.
So
we went down to the to the cellar. You were like, let's check out the cellar. And the cellar with the rows of wine bottles is very cellary. It's it looks like big tables, like for.
I've never said celery before, and it's amazing how even though this is like the sixth time, I still just see celery.
Yes, it sounds. It is a different word. I made up a word that is already a word, so that's bad form.
Nope, great form.
But it is. They're like tables that look like they are for like eight people, so probably like you and your friends, and then a couple other people to continue that atmosphere of like
keep it going, bro.
Yeah, keep the party going.
Yeah,
but there's also this other room called
that same guy from the table who's being obnoxious, like, "Hey, you gonna come down have a drink with us in the cellar after?"
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
When do you get off?
when do you get off is the worst question.
That is the worst.
That's the worst question.
That almost feels like a threat.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It's so imposing.
Yeah. When you get, how long's your shift?
That's
okay.
Different. I will always ask, this is a different situation.
Yeah.
But in an Uber,
when did you start?
Or Lyft, yeah. How long have you been driving today? Just like, because I am curious about like what people's shifts are like.
Hours are fascinating.
Yes. And that's an industry that is like totally, your hours are totally self-regulated. And I am curious. But yeah, like when do you get off? But yeah, so we go downstairs. We're in the cellar.
We're going to be at the Comedy Cellar seeing this guy Josh Gondelman. It's fucking riot.
No.
He's a riot.
Everybody who comes to see me on purpose is like a very gentle librarian. They're all very lovely.
people come to see you on purpose.
I'm literally performing at a librarian conference this weekend. it's like an event for my book that's coming out later.
It's a library. Okay. Sorry.
So we... So there's the actual cellar part of the wine cellar.
Yeah.
But in between, there is, what's it called? The special club?
Special club.
And it is like a jazz club. It felt, you said that it felt like the club in La La Land, but like if it were actually good and not just some guy that was like, I'm going to be a jazz star.
Yeah.
It was like very red and plush. And it felt like when you see Las Vegas in a movie and you're like,
from like the 50s.
Yes. Yeah. Not like when you go to Las Vegas in real life and you like trip over some guy's oxygen tank and like onto like a cigarette stain the size of the big ball of plastic
in
the ocean.
Right. And your head hits the lever for like Mission Impossible 3, the slot.
Exactly. And it's got Philip Seymour Hoffman on it because he's the villain and it's sad.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was overwhelmed because it was such a different energy. There was a jazz band doing sound check, playing standards. I forget what song it was, but I was like,
as the cynical part of this party, I believe that they're just constantly doing sound check.
Yeah,
and they're
everyone's trying to dupe you.
Meant for people walking by. Oh, they're just sound checking.
No, okay. They weren't even open yet.
Yeah, well, they're never open. That's not a functional space.
That seems
from
a real estate point of view, impractical. So it just had this like incredibly warm, inviting,
honestly
ambience.
Perfect. And
it was so good.
Harkens back to, I hate the word harkens, but gets back to the idea that this woman is just a master at creating spaces.
She's an incredible, this is all I've experienced firsthand of her work.
Yeah.
Ariel Arce?
Arce.
And she was there when we saw it. She was like standing in the doorway when we walked in.
Yeah.
And I was blown away just by like the ambience. Like it felt fictitious.
Yeah.
How like charming and classy, and like it was like the
It wasn't real.
It was like the it was like the place that you always, it's like the place where two people meet in a movie, or they go on their like first date and fall in love. But it's like it was almost too inviting to be real. And it was like we didn't get to sit there or eat there, and like it was like really cool and impressive.
It's funny also that if we cut that thing from the beginning where I was talking about how the guy was faking the
passive
thing, none of these jokes
just
are going to work.
This just sounds truly deranged. Where you're like, jet fuel can't
that room isn't
jet fuel can't melt fondue or whatever your restaurant conspiracy is.
Also, it's crazy to me. I never expected that the only thing that would receive any kind of negativity on this whole show was the La double La crumbing. Land.
Oh. I thought you were going to say the double crumbing.
Yeah. No, we need one more thing to take.
But La La Land, I felt like I needed to give that qualifier because there's so much baggage attached to that movie and like that it like fake won the Oscar for like 8 seconds.
Our audience loves La La Land.
Loves La La Land. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
My audience might be ambivalent if people are coming to this podcast for me. I'm a big draw.
Yeah, right.
I'm not.
No, we have a lot of librarians who listen to this. A
lot of librarians.
Yeah. Our audience is just Green Book fans and librarians.
La La librarians.
La La librarians. To wrap up, we were pretty blown away.
Yeah.
Lovely spaces. Can't wait for what she does next.
I'm going to go seek out her other restaurants as well.
The new album is called...
The new album's Dancing on a Weeknight. And can I also say, my new essay collection, my debut essay collection, Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results, is available for pre-order now, and it's out September 17th. And pre-orders are like so wonderful and helpful for authors. It like really helps push things forward. So if you enjoyed me here and have any inclination, I would greatly appreciate it.
And you know, you don't need to write a book. You could have gone and I don't know, what's a real cash grabby thing you could have done?
Could have
what's a cash
grabby? Pictures with Fit Tea on Instagram.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You could have done that. Anyway, we appreciate having you hang around.
Thanks
for having me. We appreciate.
There's like a bunch of other people that
I haven't all noticed. The live audience appreciates you being here.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun, and we had a great meal. Thank you for your dinner.